Good afternoon, Eastern Washington and fellow Patriots. This is Matt Shea, and welcome to Patriot Radio, broadcasting live from deep inside the heart of the future Liberty State. Brought to you once again by Covenant Church Spokane and the legacy of Dr. Stan Monteith, bringing you the story behind the story. And the news behind the news, it's not about right or left, it's about right and wrong, about our hope not being in man, but in Jesus Christ. About not ending in prayer, but moving to action. And about the gospel of the kingdom, Isaiah 61, 1 through 4. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord anointed me to bring good news to the humble. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim release to captives and freedom to prisoners, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant those who mourn in Zion, giving them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the cloak of praise instead of a disheartened spirit. So they will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Then they will rebuild the ancient ruins. They will raise up the former devastations, and they will repair the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations. Today, there has been a push in the church for men to no longer be men. In some parts of the body of Christ, this has happened. And so I want to talk about that today. I want to talk about what that means and what the scripture actually says about men being men. I gave a small presentation last night on preparedness, talked a little bit about this at that time. And I think a lot of people think that somehow being prepared is not biblical, when in fact, it's extremely biblical. Proverbs 21:20, there is a precious treasure in oil in the home of the wise, but a foolish person swallows it up. Proverbs 22:3, a prudent person sees evil and hides himself, but the naive proceed and pay the penalty. 1 Corinthians 16:13 through 14. And I want to talk about something Jesus said here in a second in Luke. But this says, be on the alert, stand firm in the faith, act like men. Be strong. All that you do must be done in love. Act like men. Now, we often bristle when we hear terms like that, but that's what the scripture says. We need to act like men again. So I'm speaking to the men out there listening to Patriot Radio today. We need to act like men again. What does that mean? We need to be able to provide for, we need to be able to defend our families against the encroaching tyranny that we're seeing all over the place. Act like men again. If churches are forced not to meet at the point of a gun, like they are in many communist countries, and many people see that coming here to America, we come against that in Jesus' name. But if it happens, are men ready to be the head of the household again? Do communion with your family. Preach to your family. Pray with your family. Meditate on the word with your family. Are we ready to do that? Fast with your family. Act like men again. And then it says, be strong, which means, are we physically fit? Are we actually training our minds and our bodies right now for the time that we're in? Or have we sat back and enjoyed too much of the good life and become too soft? So soft, in fact, that we don't want to do anything. But this is scripture. 1 Corinthians 16, verses 13 through 14. Be on the alert, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong. All that you do must be done in love. But if men are being men, there is no love. That's not what Jesus said, and that's not what Paul said. Let's be men again in this time that we have been called. Let's be men again for our families. Let's be men again for our communities. Let's be men again for our country. Some of you that are listening to my voice right now, that's resonating, and it should. What has these tyrants so scared right now is that Americans are beginning to wake up. In fact, Trump actually has more support now than he did. His support is actually increasing among his base. Very interesting. Now, we're going to talk about a little bit of what happened, what's going on today. And that brings us now to your daily intelligence briefing from the international front. Remember, I talked about a ginned-up crisis in the Middle East? And right on cue, coming to us from Debka File, Iran, presumed just weeks away from a nuclear weapon. President, and no, pretender Joe Biden's national security advisor, said on Friday that Iran's other bad behavior, its ballistic missile capacity, support for terrorists and other aggressions, et cetera, is clearly an early priority. Wasn't it the Democrats that gave him the original ability to do this? All right. Anyway, so what's also happening now in conjunction with this now alarm over Iran is the United States has now deployed to the Red Sea to contest the, quote, spreading Iranian threat. Again, coming to us from Debka File. So they want to deploy to that area of the world. Say there's now a threat from Iran, where the Democrats several years ago said there was not. And now they're ginning this up out of the blue, right on cue, right? All right. In addition, on the international front, coming to us from libertysentinel.org, libertysentinel.org, that's Alex Newman's media site. Taiwan, and there's been a few of these, actually, that have occurred. But Taiwan's defense ministry said China sent 8 bombers capable of carrying nuclear weapons and 4 fighter jets into its air defense identification zone just southwest of the island. In addition to that, there was apparently some sort of an intercepted radio signal talking about the bombing of a U.S. aircraft carrier. So clearly, China is becoming very emboldened over there. Now, a lot of people have asked me, Matt, are they going to try to come into the United States? Well, they don't have a big enough blue water navy to come across the ocean to invade the United States. But they do have the ability to invade Taiwan and other surrounding countries like Vietnam and Japan. So we think about this, and but they want to solidify their regional hegemony first. And by the way, part of that is Australia and Indonesia. New Zealand. In fact, there was an entire book series written about that in a television show about that scenario. They want to solidify their regional hegemony first before they try to do something against the United States. And they're quite content to just allow their agents and proxies in the United States to sow division and discord here to keep us occupied. Some people have put out the disinformation from QAnon and the rest of these guys, and QAnon is a disinformation campaign, a psychological operation to keep people in their seats. Similar to the idea that we just need to hold on long enough until we get out of here, that sentiment in the Christian church keeps people in their seats. They don't do anything because there's a plan. We just got to wait for it to unfold. That's not what the gospel of the kingdom is. But people have asked, are there Chinese agents in Canada? Yes, they're not going to be in uniform, but there's a significant infiltration in Canada of Chinese agents. That's a given. Their military is doing maneuvers in uniform up there in Canada with the Canadians, but it's a small unit. It's not a huge unit, as some of these disinformation sites have put out. But the fact of the matter is Canada clearly has its eye on Vancouver. It does. So what are we doing right now to address this threat? Well, under this pretender, the answer is exactly the wrong things. I talked about how one of the first executive orders the pretender signed was to essentially suspend the protections of America's power grid. Why would you do that? When virtually every expert on the subject of any merit is talking about the idea that China wants to attack our power grid, wants to attack our internet, wants to attack our cell phone infrastructure. And if you want to hear something about that, you can go to the episode I did about a month ago with Jack Decker and General Valley, who's retired Major General. They talk about this. So this isn't hyperbole. This is, what are we why are we doing that? My goodness gracious. Now, I want to move next to something that's happening in Ethiopia on the international front. This just in from InfoWars, 750 Christians massacred by the Ethiopian government. 750 members of the Tigray Meriam Sion Church died fighting against Ethiopian federal troops joined by a militia. Interestingly enough, many Ethiopian Christians believe the Ark of the Covenant is housed at that church. And this has gone largely unnoticed by the mainstream fake news media. You know, you hear these kind of things, but we don't get this in our media sources here in America. We're not getting this. Then you have some pretty incredible statements coming from Klaus Schwab, arch globalist, that are talking about what's going to happen with this great reset. And so I'm going to go next to the national front. Does everybody not see that what they're doing? They're telling us what they're going to do. They said, you will own nothing and be happy. That's their new model. Own nothing and be happy. If you want a movie to watch about this, it's called Surrogates with Bruce Willis. Surrogates with Bruce Willis. And it shows you what their plan of the future is. Everybody sitting in these little bubbles, essentially living a virtual life. No, thank you. No, thank you very much. And we hear this stuff, and some people are still asking, well, is it really true? Is it could possibly be true? I don't know. Good night. It's happening right in front of our eyes. Incredible that we don't see it sometimes. Now, I want to talk next about on the national front with this in this great reset that they want to perpetrate on the American people. They are moving really fast toward this actually happening. I mean, it's really fast. But part of this great reset is always going to be control. And now there's a claim, and this coming to us from Technocracy News via Breitbart, that China biotech firms are reportedly attempting to harvest DNA from Americans using, wait for it, everybody, wait for it, everybody, coronavirus tests. The Chinese biotech firms, according to this allegation, are reportedly attempting to harvest DNA from Americans using coronavirus tests. Coronavirus and this whole response is not about this pandemic, shamdemic, scamdemic. It's about control. And then you have Fauci come out this last week and say that maybe people should wear 2 and 3 masks. That is asinine. Anybody that knows anything about biological weapons and knows anything about viruses knows that the viruses are too small to be stopped by the mask. And then to put 2 or 3 on them, it's like a joke now, like they're betting in some back room somewhere that people are going to be dumb enough to do this stuff. And, oh, by the way, there is a huge exposure now from multiple whistleblowers all over the place about the adverse reactions that are occurring with this COVID so-called vaccine. It's not a vaccine. It's really patented as a gene therapy. So, Beijing Genomics Institute offered to set up coronavirus testing laboratories in Washington, New York, and California, and at least three other states. That means they're here, folks. So they want to take these coronavirus test kits and then profile the DNA of every single human being. And guess why they do that? Because they want to find out, doing genetic research, if there is a marker among a large portion of Americans that they could possibly deploy a biological weapon against. I don't know, but is that in the realm of possibility? Sure it is. Because in General Chiwatian speech and in unrestricted warfare, they talk about this stuff. We've got to wake up to this. It is incredible how fast that they're moving. All right. In addition to that, this coming to us from The New American. This is the quote in an explosive interview with Alex Newman, former president of the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons. Dr. Lee Merritt explains her belief that America is currently facing what appears to be biological warfare. Dr. Merritt, a former military doctor who studied biological warfare, reviews previous animal studies on technology underlying the vaccines and paints a dire picture. Interesting. Guys, check that out. If you haven't already, it's at The New American at TNA. And we're starting to get a picture as well of what's going to be happening here in the United States. And what we're going to start seeing, is people who are of like mind coming together, in different communities, solidifying their economies internally, and in addition to doing that, essentially nullifying unconstitutional orders from above. This is all going local. It's not even at state level anymore. This is going local. Some states are doing it, and I'll get to that here in a second. Quite literally, what we are seeing in America happen now is balkanization. Many people have talked about that possibility. I prefer to say regions of freedom is what is happening right now. Gab's CEO just came out and urged Americans a couple of things. First, Jesus is king. Second, that we as Americans need to delete all the big tech stuff and now begin to build a Christian economy. Quote, I'm done giving my money away to the enemy and funding the destruction of our country. I could not agree more. We've been talking about this for years. We need to form our own Christian economies. We need to embrace the entrepreneurship and all of the opportunities that are here. And here's what he said. I love this. This is a great quote from him. I am in the process of transitioning every part of my financial expenses to support Christian businesses, Christian media companies, Christian content creators, and Christian people. Awesome. Quote, if they are not serving God, they are serving Satan, and I'm simply not going to fund that activity. You can check this article out on WorldNet Daily, and it's about time somebody said that. It is about time somebody said that. All right, in addition to that, and moving now to Texas, this kind of reinforces these ideas of regions of freedom. So the Pretenders administration is obviously going into a radical I believe, unconstitutional open border policy, which is part of the Marxist agenda, Chapter 2 of the Communist Manifesto. You can read it for yourself. And so now Texas as a state is moving to defend America's borders in place of the federal government. Governor Abbott announced that Texas would step up its efforts to secure the U.S.-Mexican border. This coming to us from the New American. So, we are going to continue to see this happen where states and regions of freedom band together to do the right thing and defend the Constitution. We're going to start seeing economies begin to increase and be built as a antidote to the socialist push that we're seeing. That is why they're moving so fast to silence patriots, and that's why entrepreneurs out there listening to Patriot Radio right now start moving into those areas and creating alternatives. Also, on the national front, investigators looking into the fatal shooting of Ashley Babbitt by a Capitol Police officer have now determined that the officer should not face charges. Absolutely outrageous. You could see his hand. You could see it was intentional. Just unbelievable. So they killed a 35-year-old veteran of the United States Air Force who had served four tours. Unarmed. Outside of the halls of government that she fought under the auspices of. Unreal. And we need to, as Americans, understand we are fighting for the Constitution. Our oath is to the Constitution, not a person, not a political party. It is to the Constitution of the United States of America. And you can read that article on InfoWars. Last but not least, there is a media blackout on this. This was actually provided to me by Readout News, but it's posted on the True Defender website, and there's a video of it. This is right here in Washington State on the regional front. Antifa terrorists armed with hatchets take over the Red Lion Hotel in Olympia, Washington, occupy 17 rooms and demand shelter for homeless. Wow. Employees reported that some members of the activist group inside the hotel were armed with items such as hatchets, batons, knives, gas masks, helmets, goggles, apparently in preparation for the confrontation. Olympia Police Department estimated about 45 members of the group inside and outside of the hotel. At the time of the occupation, approximately 40 rooms actually in the hotel were booked with guests who were bystanders to the incident. Maybe the FBI is going to investigate these guys as fast as they did the pastors that prayed at the Capitol of the United States. Or is there an agenda? How come the FBI couldn't root out the Chinese agents in America that were trying to co-opt sitting congressmen and other elected officials? How come that's impossible for them to do unless there's an agenda? These people are not stupid. Unbelievable. So you got this with Antifa right in Olympia, Washington. People are asking, what do we do now, right? What do we do now? I want to talk about a couple of things, too, that have happened here recently that UTT, Understanding the Threat, has picked up. And We really need to understand, too, that it's not just the local stuff that matters, but it is the international stuff. But it's ultimately going to be the local area that we need to protect, and it's going to be the solution. You ready for this? Iranian agents conducted pre-attack surveillance of Israeli and U.S. embassies in East Africa. Muslim jihadi in Florida uses his mental condition as the reason he became a jihadi. And the New York Police Department has decided to shift its focus away from jihadis to so-called white supremacists, whatever that even means anymore. And I remember a lot of folks saying, oh, it's never going to happen to me, Matt. It only happens to you. And I kept warning people. I said, you think this is going to stop with me? In fact, I briefed the entire Republican caucus one day on this issue. And I said, do you think this is going to stop with me? That's insanity. They're going to go after everybody. They're going to label everybody that. And sure enough, what did they do? So as Americans, what do? We solidify our area. We make sure that we are not listening to the news and then getting co-opted by it, listening to that fake news, that we provide for our family. We begin to prepare. We store up food, medical supplies, sundry items. We do it now. We live on the doorstep of the breadbasket of the world, for goodness sakes. We should have more than enough food. Because mark my words, what communists do every single time is they set people up like this, and then they try to project onto them what they're really doing themselves. So if you want to know what the communists are going to do, what are they accusing us of doing? That's what they're going to do. What are they accusing patriots and Christians of doing? That's what they're going to do. And it's time that we just stand and say enough. There's a great line in the movie Tombstone. And I love Wyatt Earp says to Sheriff Behan, I don't think we're going to let you arrest us today, Sheriff. Why? Because the sheriff was acting in an illegal, unconstitutional manner out of his own self-interest. And the point behind that whole scene was that the local community banding together can say enough. Enough. And that's where we really need to be with this, is nullification. Because I've got to tell you something. I didn't even get into big tech today because our guest is going to be talking about this. We are at a point in our country where we have to choose. There is no more middle ground. There is no more middle ground. The pretender and the Marxists are going to do their thing. What are we going to do as free Americans? I submit to you that the idea of regions of freedom, of making sure that we preserve freedom in our local community, we preserve liberty in our local community, is the greatest thing and the greatest focus that we can have right now. And that's the briefing. Remember, the antidote to dependency and socialism is to be a God-fearing, self-reliant, freedom-loving American. Thank you to everybody that's been praying for us. And if you get a chance, you can check out Covenant Church at cov.church. We have a lot of information up there as well. Facebook is slamming us, so we're working on that. But we do want to make sure that you are getting biblical teaching, kingdom-minded teaching in this time that we're in. If you get a chance to, you can visit Patriot Radio on iTunes, Podbean, Spotify, and Amazon. Share it with your friends and family. Patriot Radio, Church and State, two great radio shows right here in our community. Help support us by spreading the word. It's the greatest thing that you can do right now to help out with the fight that we're in for the future of our country. All right, it is my distinct pleasure to introduce once again Pat Wood. He is the founder of Technocracy News, and also he has been a huge proponent of free speech everywhere that he's gone. Pat Wood, is always great to have you on Patriot Radio. Thanks for joining me today.
Matt, I'm getting voicemail.
Okay. All right. Well, I do want to talk about a couple things that he has brought up, and hopefully we can get him on the line here. All right, with technocracy, with this idea, is the idea to control everything. And control the inflow of money into the system, the outflow of money into the system, and track every single individual by every single action that they take. I want to, there's a, and I've talked about this before, it's called the Internet of Things. Quite literally, this is where they want to go with this. Your refrigerator is a smart refrigerator, and it's hooked up to the smart meter at your house. And you go into your refrigerator, and you eat some ice cream, and you put that back in there, but there's a chip on the back of your ice cream container, and it tells how full or how empty it is. That connects with your refrigerator. That connects to the internet. And the next time you go into a doctor visit, hey, Phil, probably need to cut down on the ice cream intake there. Quite literally, that is where this is going, and they've been very open about it. Most people don't know that even if you have encrypted communication, they are still listening in on almost everything. They're still doing it, and they want to track not only what you're saying, they want to track who you're talking to so they can advertise directly to you, but it's more insidious than that. Activity-based intelligence, or ABI, says that if you can create a thorough enough profile on a human being, you can actually begin to introduce stimulus to begin manipulating their behavior because you know how they're going to react with particular stimulus. So they have created databases on every American, 2,400 plus data points on every American. They know you're a gun owner. They know that you like ice cream on the weekends. They know you like mint chocolate chip ice cream on the weekends. They know you like popcorn. They know you like butter on your popcorn. And so then they use it in a way, and this was used in the military in other countries. Now they're using it in the United States, kind of like some of these other things. They use it in a way to get you to act a predictable way that they can then have something waiting for you in the back end, essentially entrapping you or using it to gin certain things up. Activity-based intelligence. Go look at it. Look it up. Look up the Internet of Things. All this stuff is real. That's why they got to do 5G, because they need enough bandwidth to have all this stuff connected. Cameras are connected. There are entire databases of cameras that are connected. They have entire databases connecting cameras all over just what you would drive by on the normal street. This is why people are like, "That's so weird. I was talking about a red wagon, and then all of a sudden I started getting red wagon advertisements on my phone." Why do you think that is? I want to go back to this Gab CEO. I really am becoming a huge fan of Gab. I'm on there right now, Matt Shea. Find me on Gab. MeWe has taken a little bit of a turn. Stay on there. It's a tool until they try to shut that one down. But Gab looks like it's pretty solid. Gab looks like it's pretty solid. And the CEO is coming out, Andrew Torba, and he just understands what we're against. I want to read a quote from him. We need to build, and he said, and this is a paraphrase, we need to build our own Christian economy. Then, quote, one without cancel culture, one that doesn't embrace the demonic and degenerate cult religion of critical theory. He goes on to say, quote, a pathetic subversion of well-meaning Christians, churches, and Christian values in general. It lures decent, God-fearing people into practicing a false and demonic pseudo-religion designed to accelerate their spiritual and literal demise. It preys on the malleable minds of our youth. It enslaves those who practice it and destroys and seeks to destroy those who do not. Delete the big tech apps from your phone. And I'm going to tell you what, I am going down this road that we do need to get completely off of Facebook. We need an alternative, a viable alternative to Amazon for Christians. Oh, but Matt, you can't separate yourself from the world. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about building the kingdom. That's what I'm talking about. I am talking about walking out the kingdom on earth. Oh, Matt, but if we're not, the kingdom is in heaven. It is. But the kingdom is also inside us. And the Greek word there, entos, means inside us and among us. And it is a verb meaning action. We should have kingdom finances. We should have a kingdom economy. That's what the founding fathers started up. That's how they got started. They had a huge underground economy. Guys like Paul Revere were known to be part of that underground economy. But it's not an underground economy in America. What we are wanting to create is an alternative to the socialist economy. It's not even underground. It's not underground at all, in fact. It is an alternative to the socialist economy that doesn't have cancel culture, that doesn't advocate for the smearing of people just because of what they believe, or even the shooting of people like Ashley Babbitt, apparently without any recourse, for what they believe. He goes on to say this: our Christian kindness and tolerance have fueled our own destruction and have been weaponized against us. Tolerance is not a Christian virtue. We are commanded to hate that which is evil. Amen. Psalm 97:10 and Romans 12:9, if you want the Bible verses. Not to fund it and give our time to it either. Yes, we shouldn't be funding evil. So go to Gab. It's a website. They don't have an app. It's a website. You got to go on to Gab. Go to Gab. Follow me. I'm posting there quite a bit right now. Absolutely fantastic understanding of what we need to do in this time. Create our own internal economies for Christians as an alternative to the socialism that's out there right now. And guess what? We have a lot of businesses right now that are hurting, really hurting badly, because of the policies of the pretender and our governor here in Washington, if that even can be said is true either. Now, this is the more concerning aspect of this big tech overarching surveillance. Left-wing columnist Harold Meyerson has published a column at the American Prospect, a prominent liberal publication, in which he suggests that the entire Republican Party belongs on the domestic terrorism watch list. So they're going to start using this to come against Christians. The antidote to do this type of list making and where they try to blacklist Americans is, we have companies, we have businesses that can stand during this blacklisting so that our own sense of justice and right is not destroyed by this, what is clearly totalitarianism, by the Marxists, by the Marxist media. We should have that economy. So if they say something like this, okay, you can call us whatever names you want to. We're going to withstand it by the grace of God in the creativity that he's given us. And who knows? Who knows? Could there be another pandemic coming? That last article was from Breitbart. This next one, the next epidemic could be a potentially deadly fungus. So yet another whatever, Candida auris, a yeast-like fungus, which actually Candida is actually in your intestines already, that could be potentially fatal if it enters your bloodstream. And where does it spread? Healthcare settings through contact with contaminated environmental services or equipment, or from person to person. Oh, brother. So there's going to be any number of so-called crises out there to justify this further control mechanism implementation, this further spread of control mechanism. And I got to tell you something. It's very important for everybody to understand. Tyranny always, always operates under the guise and the mask of legitimacy and, quote, legality. Tyranny always does it. Oh, well, this is legal. This was a legal decree from the king. This was a legal decree from the pretender. Always masquerades under the guise of legitimacy every time. So just because somebody says it's legal does not mean it's constitutional. It doesn't even mean it's moral. And in fact, this issue was settled at the Nuremberg trials following World War II, where German soldiers used as the excuse, Befehl ist Befehl, or an order is an order. In other words, they were just following orders. It's not their fault, right? And the Nuremberg trial ruled that, no, every single individual is held to an individual
standard. I have now, Matt.
Okay, sounds good. An individual moral standard, and must act according to that moral standard regardless of what anybody else is doing around them. So with that, we're going to bring Pat Wood on. Pat, it's always great to have you on. Technocracy News is fantastic right now today, and boy, did you call things way in advance. Man, you did.
I've had a habit all my life of being a little bit ahead of the game, Matt. And this is one of those things. Again, I was talking about technocracy well over, 12 years ago now. And, you know, people kind of shook their head back then, but they're not now. They get it now. So people are really starting to get what's going on.
Yeah, they really are. Let's talk about that. I've been kind of going through some of the things, these control mechanisms that are part of the Great Reset and some other things. But let's start first with an article that you guys posted up there. India invents an AI camera network to track every physical movement. Why would they want to do that? And where is this headed? I mean, come on.
The original idea of technocracy way back in the 1930s, they said themselves that the point of their economic control system or control over the economy was predicated on what they called the science of social engineering. Now, like any factory floor, if you owned a factory and had a bunch of whiz-bangs, gears, belts, whatever, you'd want to have some kind of monitoring device on that factory floor to tell you when something's about to break or when something does break. So you monitor the factory. This was the technocrat mindset way back in the 30s. They knew that if they were going to be the social engineers of the whole society, they needed to monitor society at a micro level. This is what's happening today. This ideology has been around for a very long time and is coming to full bloom today as everything under the sun is monitored, photographed, recognized, whatever. You've got even, you know, China's in a position now where they're collecting DNA from everybody on the planet. You say, well, why would they want their DNA? It's data about you and other people in society. They figure if they can get enough data, as do the technocrats in our country and in Europe as well, if you can get enough data, you control everything. Every conceivable aspect of life can be controlled if you have enough data. And that's what this is all about. Data. On you.
Data. Every person having a profile. And
yes.
But this always implies that they're going to do something with the data.
Yeah.
And I think the short answer is control. I mean, you've talked about this for years.
It is control. That's exactly what it is. Why would you need the data if you're not going to use it to control the object of your, your focus? If they say that society, control of society is their objective, then as they collect the data, the right question isn't to ask, well, what are they going to do with the data? Well, they're going to use it to control society. The question should be, how far along the program are they here, and can they be stopped? Really, that's really the only last question. And it does seem, today, it does seem like the end game, the coup d'etat, is in process right now, has been since this pandemic started, and they're not letting up. You notice that. At first, it was just flattening the curve. They need 14 right. days to flatten the curve. And here we are almost 14 months into it. And, hey, forget the curve. Who needs the curve anyway? That's out. First, Fauci said, you don't need to wear a face mask. That's stupid. Then he said, everybody needs to wear a face mask. And now he says, everybody needs to wear two face masks. Okay, so when's this ever going to quit? You see, that's the question. Right now, it looks like never. It's going to be a permanent fixture in many places in the world.
Go ahead.
We ought to know. We just need to know. This is the global initiative. This is not just America. Every country on the earth, except for maybe a couple, are subject to this tyranny right now of mask mandates, social distancing, lockdowns, mandates, et cetera.
There's a list in one of the articles that you posted about the Great Reset that Brandon Smith put together about, you know, what you're talking about is exactly right. There's going to be perpetual lockdowns, medical passports, censorship, and deplatforming of all dissenters. There's going to be massively reduced economic activity. In fact, the Great Reset actually presumes there's going to be massive automation and people are going to be, quote, living happily without owning anything, end quote. And then also, there is going to be the introduction of what we've been talking about for years, and that's the universal basic income, because nobody's going to be having a job.
You're right. You're right. And universal basic income, by the way, originated back in the 1930s with technocracy. That's where it came from. And the technocrats today are promoting universal basic income. Just look at Andrew Yang, for instance. Look at Elon Musk. Look at, you know, the Eric Schmidts of the world. They're all pumping and touting universal basic income. They know that there is there's a growing class, a new class of population that are not called the unemployed. They're not called just the middle class. They're called the unemployable. The unemployable. Those people who will never have a job again, because they either don't have the skill set or can't retrain or whatever, and they will be totally unemployable forevermore. And this is why they're so hot for universal basic income, because you have to keep these people from rioting and coming after them with pitchforks and torches. So we see this all over the world right now, coming to, you know, this UBI is being tested all over the planet. And it probably is going to get some traction. My guess is it's going to get some traction before this is done, because, you know, it's being pushed even by the World Economic Forum.
It's incredible how fast it's moving. And, you know, you've been a huge proponent of free speech during this time, because that's one of the biggest things that gets in their way is free speech and exposing these things all over the place. What should people be doing right now? I mean, how do we stop this stuff, and how do we fight back against this push toward technocracy?
I'll tell you, the first thing and the best thing that people could do is get their eyeballs off of Washington. Just quit looking at it. Don't even think. Just completely put Biden out of your mind and everybody else, all the drama and stuff in Washington, D.C. That's just so much theater to keep people from doing what they need to be doing, and that is getting into their local communities and mixing it up with the people in their local communities to drive this garbage out of their local communities. It got in here easy enough over a period of years, because the Agenda 21 types from outside our country at the United Nations came in. They didn't go through national government. They went straight to the cities and towns all over America and counties. Mm-hmm. And they planted their garbage deeply in these communities. And nope, the citizens were not watching. They just weren't paying attention like they should have. But now it ought to become obvious that the only way we can do anything to resist this is to start by cleaning up our own communities. And that means that citizens are going to have to get off their couch, turn off CNN or Fox News or whatever the heck it is they're watching, and get them aggravated about Washington, D.C., and go down to their local city council meetings, go to their board meetings, go to the water board meetings, go to the fire board meetings, go to the education board meetings, whatever. Get involved. And if you have a mind to get elected, do that too. You can do that. A lot of positions are, you know, open. There's no nobody opposing you. If you just throw your name in the hat, you're going to get elected to something. But get into the civic arena and make a difference with your voice. That's why we need free speech. And the framers of the Constitution knew this. That's why they made it the First Amendment. Everything in America has been predicated on civil discourse.
Everything.
Every time civil discourse is squashed, the knives or guns come out. It's just that simple. This is a truism. It has nothing to do with politics. This is a fact of life. When communication stops, the fighting begins. And this is where we are. Just look around. This is where we are in America right now. Everybody wants to fight each other. We're just, you know, we're primed for civil war right now. I say we cannot let that happen because it'll really be over then. But we need to resuscitate civil discourse in every community across America. And that's why we're working hard at Citizens for Free Speech to do just that and help people get a grounding. Our director of training, by the way, Mary Baker, I think you know who Mary is.
Yep.
She says very succinctly, if you don't have a seat at the table, you are what's for dinner. And isn't that true?
And that's why we all need to be citizen ninjas, as she's fond of saying as well.
That's exactly right.
We have so many platforms going sideways right now. So Parler got shut down. MeWe is now taking a turn, it looks like, in the wrong direction. So the question then becomes, you know, where can we go as conservatives and Christians and patriots to be able to post free speech so we can get everybody on board with what's really happening, get them the good information? Where can we go for these things? What are you recommending as we're talking about this free speech issue?
Well, we have, you know, I've been a user of social media platforms ever since they were born. And I'm still a user right today. To some extent, I use all of these social media platforms for one purpose or another. I don't go in there and do a lot of interaction with people personally, but I still use them. And I'll tell you what, my personal opinion is these organizations have added nothing to society at all. Nothing. They've broken down society, if anything. They've destroyed a generation, maybe two generations of young people. And people get addicted to these things. Flat out addiction. They can't take their eyeballs off their Facebook account or off their Twitter account or whatever. And that blocks them. Just think about it a minute. When somebody is glued to their phone, smartphone, or glued to their computer, looking at social media networks and, I got to post this and I got to post that. For every hour that somebody spends doing that, they're blocked from doing something useful in their own committee, in their own community, like going down and attending and auditing some city council meetings. That's the important stuff they should be doing, is meeting face-to-face with people and rebuilding relationships with actual individuals, not just, you know, names on a social media page, et cetera. Now, it's true, you can consume news off of social media platforms when you're posting and reposting stuff. And there's some value to that because we don't get news from mainstream media, that's for sure. But by and large, every reasonable source of news in the world today is you can access it much more quickly just by going directly to the webpage, reading it there. You know, you don't necessarily need everybody else's commentary on it before you read it. Just go there and, you know, bookmark some websites and go there and read those stories directly. So I encourage people, look, you only got 24 hours a day, just like everybody else. You got to wake up every morning and figure out how are you going to spend your hours if you want to be effective. And if you want to be effective and truly exercise, quote unquote, free speech rights a la First Amendment, you have to be out in the civic arena to do that. You have to be interacting with people who are policymakers, who have the ability to change things. Nothing ever got changed on social media, I'm afraid. It just went from bad to worse all the time. But when citizens get involved in their local community, whether it's at the city council level or some other education board or whatever, policies get changed. People get persuaded. Bad policies stop. You know, there's cities across America, some cities across America, have outlawed facial recognition. How cool is that? I mean, you don't hear about that because those stories are censored. But there's a bunch of cities, most of them small towns, some couple of large ones like New Orleans, has banned facial recognition technology from their whole city. Some have banned pre-crime analysis software, you know, AI plus cameras and all that stuff. And they said, we're not going to have that in our city, period. Get lost, you pinstripe salesman, you. You know, get out of our town and don't come back. I mean, this is cool. Any city in America could do stuff like that. And it would turn these technocrats on their head if enough cities and towns said, hey, you know what? We don't need your stinking technology. Just take it home. Get it out of here. We don't want it here.
Amen.
How much better off would they be in the end without it?
I think we all would be. So in the last, we've got 30 seconds left. If you could, Pat, just give the listeners where they can go on the internet to find more about what you're talking about and to connect with you.
You bet. Technocracy.news, of course, my professional site, citizensforfreespeech.org for free speech issues. We need every American to get on board with us and put their name on the line.
Amen. Pat Wood, thanks again for everything you're doing. Keep up the fight. Keep up the great information. You called this way ahead of time, and you were made for this hour, my friend. Thanks again for being on Patriot Radio.
My pleasure. Anytime, sir.
All right. Pat Wood, Technocracy News. I'm going to be posting a few of these articles up there because they're just so, it's just so crazy how fast things are moving. Anyway, if you get the opportunity, check these out. Especially the articles on biological warfare and some of the other implications in that regard. This is Matt Shea. Thank you once again for joining me on Patriot Radio today. May God bless all of you. Be prepared. And as was started out at the beginning of the show, act like men, as it says in 1 Corinthians 16. Be prepared. Let's keep America for the next generation. Keep up the fight.